The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
That time of the week where we take a look at some of the biggest stories, try and get some analysis. And here in Singapore, we had some pretty groundbreaking news in the energy and tech sectors.
Meanwhile, we've seen COVID-19 cases rising around the world, which has led investors to keep a wary eye on the markets. Plus, we're heading into the last weekend before the US election.
On the line to help us out this morning is Vikram Khanna, Associate Editor, The Straits Times. Mr. Khanna, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm good. I hope you're well, too.
Very good, sir. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this morning. Sure. MAS said this week that the COVID-19 shock has affected Singapore's domestic-oriented industries more severely than in past recessions. So economic recovery, basically, is going to take a lot longer.
Right.
I know this is a very broad question, but what will it take to resuscitate Singapore's economy? How long is this going to be? The first thing that comes to mind is travel? What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, I mean, I think this is a huge question, a tough one for policymakers and everybody else. There are a couple of issues here that are key. One is uncertainty, right? So externally, we have the reinfections in the European Union and the US, they're rising, and this will lead to a slower than expected external demand growth, right? Which drives the Singapore economy. Domestically, I mean, a lot of the stimulus that we've seen over the last few months is going to be withdrawn in the future. And a lot of companies have been propped up by this. And once the stimulus wears off, I mean, it could lead to more company closures, more layoffs, and so on. The second point is that recovery is patchy. As you said earlier, I mean, it's a K-shaped recovery. Some sectors are doing all right, manufacturing, ICT, biomed, finance to some extent, but others are down in the dumps. I mean, tourism, all those tourism-related industries, hospitality, aviation, some retail. So these will remain depressed well into 2021, even despite some bubbles, travel bubbles gradually opening up. It's very encouraging to see that China and Australia, the bubbles with those countries are going to open up. That will help, but there's still a long way to go. So, and a lot of this is not within our control. I mean, you know, what happens in Indonesia, what happens in Malaysia, what happens in India, what happens in Europe and the U.S. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all major markets for travel. I mean, you know, that's not within our control. So the bottom line on what it will take, number one, is stronger recovery in external demand. That means, you know, getting control of the virus in the EU and the U.S. And second, probably more fiscal support at home, because this crisis is going to go on well into 2021. So, so I think that's basically the short answer to your question.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of something we heard earlier this year, doesn't it? That this is a marathon. It isn't just a short sprint. There's a long way to go, right? Okay, speaking of a long way to go, this is supposed to be the decade of delivery. By 2030, we need to see action when it comes to a more sustainable world. Let's put that in the context of Singapore International Energy Week, and it was announced that this little red dot wants a greener energy mix. So one of the ways this is being planned is through renewable energy, energy coming from, in the form of an electricity import pilot, with Malaysia. So how might sharing green energy sources within the region progress implementation of this as a source of energy, but also could this lead to a smaller electricity bill for consumers?
Okay, well, the answer to the second question is no, but I'll get to that. But just, now, what's happening is that, you know, Singapore is pivoting to sort of a greener energy mix. This has been a long-stated aim, but they're now actually taking concrete steps. So at the moment, about 95% of energy comes from natural gas, which is a dirty fuel. It's a fossil fuel, but it's the cleanest of the dirty fuels. It's the cleanest fossil fuel around, but still, it's still a fossil fuel. So renewable energy, you know, it needs large amounts of open land, it needs strong wind, and we in Singapore have neither. So we have some solar, but that only accounts for about 2% of our energy supply. So it makes sense to import clean energy, and Malaysia, being our closest neighbor, is the natural choice. Now, it will help at the margin. Bear in mind that this is a trial. They need to check the reliability of the supply. They need to check set standards. They need to check the consumer response, etc. If it all works well, it could expand, and we could even start importing energy from other sources in the region, the Riau Islands, which also can have lots of solar, Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, which have a lot of hydro. So, you know, it can gradually lead to more and more imported green energy. And this will be good for the region as well, you know, as they supply the green energy to us, they also start using green energy among themselves. Will lower energy prices? No, because what's coming from Malaysia is going to make up only 1.5% of peak demand. So there's still a long way to go.
Mm.
But in future, who knows? You know, if we keep importing more and more green energy, maybe it will start reflecting.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, right?
Exactly.
Speaking of Pivot, at 9 a.m., we're very excited for local tech player NanoFilm set to IPO on SGX. It received applications from retail investors for 30.6 times the number of shares available in the public portion of its IPO. Vikram, I mean, it's long been said that the tech companies, you know, floating here in Singapore haven't been enough of it. Is this really the moment of change after this NanoFilm IPO? Could we see more tech companies?
I hope so, because, you know, we haven't had a big listing in more than 3 years now. In fact, companies have been delisting from the SGX.
Yeah.
But, you know, the short answer is it's not clear that this is the sort of the trigger for a flood of IPOs. And NanoFilm may well be a special case. It has advanced technology, you know, it produces advanced materials, it has lots of patents, it has some 300 customers. It's profitable. Profits are up like 60% in the first half. And it has blue-chip cornerstone investors, you know, like a subsidiary of Temasek, Malaysia's Employment Provident Fund, AIA, Aberdeen, and others. And it's been oversubscribed, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Right. So there are not many companies that can meet all those metrics that I just mentioned. And another issue, of course, is that it's priced at 46 times 2019 earnings, which is a bit on the expensive side. And not many companies can get away with that. In general, tech companies prefer to go to NASDAQ, or they can tap private capital, which there's a lot of.
Yeah.
So the short answer is this may, I fear, be a one-off, though I hope it isn't. You know, so SEX could do with some more listings.
Yeah, definitely. And many are asking if it's the sign of things to come. But speaking of things to come, travellers from China and Australia's Victoria State will be able to enter Singapore and not be quarantined. That's going to start from next Friday, November 6th. And that's all if they pass a COVID-19 test on arrival. Now, Transport Minister Ong Ye Kung spoke in an exclusive interview with the Straits Times and says he remains cautious. But does this raise hopes, you know, many are asking, of more possible travel bubbles anytime soon?
Well, certainly, yeah, it does raise some hopes, and these are significant markets. China and Australia are both big tourist markets for Singapore, I think. But the issue is, one is how many tourists will feel confident to sort of fly. You know, that is one issue. The other issue, of course, as I mentioned, is that the large parts of the other tourist markets remain shut. Malaysia, Indonesia, India, Europe, U.S. I mean, we need those too. But of course, every little step forward is good. I mean, we will be able to get some visitors, I'm sure. You'll have better hotel occupancies, maybe better retail demand, and so on. And you'll have more passengers flying on SIA. So that will help. But there's still a long, long way to go.
All right, we've been speaking with Vikram Khanna, Associate Editor at The Straits Times. Vikram, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.